Then, in light of what it means to be sent into the community, I'd like to call Matt back up. He has some things he'd like to share with us. It is not two sermons, but it's close. This is some really good stuff. Matt has been engaged in some experiments with some of the teams that he's been working with, teams of adults and youth and students. And God is doing, again, some amazing things in the life of our community. And now is the time for Matt to tell you more about it.
Great. Thanks, Vince. Promise this won't be as long as the first one. So Fitz had suggested a while ago, you know, I've been working on kind of a project for a while, 4 years of thinking, and probably it's been running for about 2 years, and I've never really shared about it in front of the church. And so this is sort of finding my missional calling. You know, when I got out of seminary, the term missional had just been sort of birthed, and I spent the first 6 or 7 years of my ministry trying to figure out what did it look like for me to love, live, and serve outside the walls of the church, because your pastors will tell you that there is so much to be done here, it's hard for us to figure out where we're called to bless in our communities or find the time to do it as well. And that was really frustrating to me, having had all of that focus on being sent out in my seminary years. And so I struggled. I tried volunteering at different places. I tried to find places where our students could engage out in the community. I did a drug and gang awareness forum in my first community, but it just never seemed to be the fullness of what I thought kind of God was calling me to do. So there were a lot of experiments along the way. Well, 3 years ago, I think about there, my timeline is really fuzzy at this point in my brain. But 3 years ago, I got a group of people from Columbia together in our church, and I, as sort of an unofficial team, and I said, I think I've got kind of a crazy idea about how to do maybe youth ministry and church ministry differently. And I wonder what you all think about this. We have two wings of this ministry, the Columbia Future Forge, which is a nonprofit that is essentially a jobs training and mentoring program that teaches kids life skills and job skills, and I'll tell you more about these later, and Motown Teen Lawn Care. And that is a landscaping company that directly employs students in this program and gives them job and life skills and talks about faith along the way. And this is what ended up coming out of those conversations. It started with me remodeling my house in Camas. It was a real junker. And in the course of remodeling it, I started to hire students from around kind of the fringes of our youth ministry. Kids that I had trouble maintaining contact with who didn't really fit within the model of our kind of our youth ministry. And I later found out that I couldn't really hire them legally, but that, so I anyway had to stop doing that. But I didn't know that at the time. Not, if you know me, not that I haven't been known to skirt the rules sometimes, but what I noticed along the way as I was doing that was I was engaging these kids in some different ways, and we were getting in better conversations about life and about faith, that it was easier to engage conversations about faith over work in a lot of ways than it was anywhere else. And so I started to think, gosh, this feels like a mini work camp like we do during the summers with our high schoolers. And I had adults that don't usually engage as frequently the life of our church engaged fully on this. And I was like, what is going on? What is this? And so this is kind of where the idea came to be. One of the problems in American youth ministry, I think, is that most of our models are geared towards middle class and upper middle class kids. And so one of the weaknesses I noticed over, I've been doing this for 17 years. I've been a youth worker. And one of the things that I notice is that typically kids from lower socioeconomic spectrums come for a while, but then they disappear because the conversation and the events and other things don't really seem to fit with the questions they're asking about life and about God. And so we've struggled with that. And lately in my ministry, especially in the last 7 years, I've noticed that we're also dealing with time scarcity. Many of our teenagers don't have the time that they once did, our maybe middle class and upper middle class kids, to engage youth ministry the way that they used to. It's difficult on a Sunday night when we are up against, say, $6,000 worth of annual soccer for a family to make that choice about where they're going to send their kid when Saturday's packed with games and they're worried about school and the future of their children. And so the difficulty of making a decision for church and youth group has gone up. So part of this was created to figure out how do we get more time with the kids that we would like to have with them, more relational time. So other reasons I created the program were that many churches around the United States are so small they can't afford to do youth ministry. And I thought, what if you could create a model in which a church could hire somebody for 20 hours and that youth worker could create a social enterprise, a business that serves a kingdom good out in the community and still work with kids and provide for themselves better? Many youth workers are woefully underpaid in the United States. It's kind of a dirty little secret of the church, to be honest. And that is not true here, but it is very true in other places. So their churches are struggling. I thought maybe we could create a way to do that. I also thought that we could do things intergenerationally, which is part of the reason I was called here. And when our intergenerational team got formed, we said we wanted to create some way that we could have adults and students interacting regularly, kind of a mentoring program, but we struggled to find churches that were doing that really well. And I think this is a really natural way to do jobs and life and faith all together at the same time. And that's why we created it. So it started with Motown, mostly because it was faster to get that off the ground, and I knew a little bit about landscaping, and we could legally employ kids doing landscaping. And it seemed like a good place to start. It was also a way to create a financial engine for this program that we could take all the profits from it and simply put it back into the mentoring program. And that's been the goal. And so it started with landscaping. Initially, there was me on my first day of mowing. This day, I proceeded to bounce all of my equipment out the back end of the church trailer onto Mill Plain Avenue, which was a bit humbling. So we'll skip over that one. And then this is our first hire. This is Ethan McLaughlin. Jim's son gave it a test. He was our first test case in what would this thing look like. And so Motown was what we started with. And then we expanded. Whoop, I didn't put the logo up. But we expanded into the Forge. This is this year's group of students that were mentored. Some of them are from our church. Some of them we had no contact with before we started the program. We presented for the first time at Hudson's Bay High School this year, which was really exciting. And had a student join us from there. There's a homeschool student that found us online somehow and joined our program. And basically the Forge, which this is a part of, I don't know if that's, there it is, the logo again. The Forge essentially has 11 students this year, and they go through 5 trainings during the year. Professionalism, personal goal setting, my personal gifts and talents, how has God made me, what am I good at, all the stuff we were just talking about, and then how to manage their money, how do they do that. And then there's a culminating kind of experience when they're done. And each one of those, we blend faith in with the life skills trainings. Those students are then paired with a Christian mentor. We insist that our mentors are faith-based, and they meet with those students once a month to cover some of what they've talked about in the trainings and just talk about life together as they do that. Some of the students are directly employed with Motown. Others, after they reach the end of the Forge program, at the end of the year, we try to get at least one job interview or place in a job locally in the community. And it's become a big mission. One of the things that has become difficult about this is that what we are doing, it's pretty exciting. What we are doing is changing the way that youth ministry is being done in the United States. I have had people reach out to us from all over the United States. I had a Catholic priest at a university on the island of Malta reach out to me that found out about this program online somehow. And that is wonderful and amazing. It also has expanded this thing to a degree that's difficult to manage at times. We're also changing the way church is done. Many churches struggle to make their budgets and make ends meet and are starting to look into the future and say, how are we going to engage our kingdom work and fuel that kingdom work financially? If that's what God is calling us to do, be out in the world, how's it going to happen another 50 years from now, given some of the demographics of what we see with people and how they engage religion in this day and age? And so that conversation has happened. I happen to think that the church is a beautiful vehicle for engaging social enterprise, business with a kingdom purpose. And that's what we're trying to do and involved in those conversations at kind of like a big level around the United States. So here's where we are. Our current status, where we are is we plan to present at 5 high schools this next fall, which we're a little terrified of because we don't know how many students will want to come through the door because of that. So we're planning to expand. Everything that we're doing is kind of growing and has engagement, which is wonderful, but it's pressing our margins. But kind of where that's left us ultimately is with some different like needs as we go along. One's going to be mentors. It's part of the reason we're sharing about it. Is we have a feeling that this need is so unmet in our community, the need for individual mentors for students in our county, that we will have trouble dealing with the volume of students that want to engage in this. What I love about this program is that it is the first and best opportunity I've ever had to bring my gifts to bear on being called outside the walls of my office or outside of the church. And the web of relationships that it's creating in the community beyond our walls is amazing. The people that we're coming in touch with from schools and businesses and all sorts of things, where I'm tripping over people that I've already met who have heard about our program, really is awesome. It's pretty exciting. I'm excited because adults in this program get to engage their actual gifts. I know that many of our adults in the church often feel like they're not sure what their Sunday faith has to do with Monday through Friday. There are many adults in this church who don't want to go anywhere near a youth center on a Sunday or Wednesday night for reasons I fully understand. But I think this program allows adults who have all kinds of gifts and life experiences to sit down with a student and say, I feel like I have something to talk about. I can engage the student in a conversation of faith because we're talking about goal setting or how to manage money or other things that feel ordinary but allow faith to come up. I love it because the outreach potential is huge. It is just the natural ability to share your faith within this model is really, really exciting and cool. I'm just thrilled with that. So this is not the example of how you might find a missional calling. It took me years to figure this out. I sort of felt like I staggered into it on accident. And I think that's how missional callings kind of go. But it's not the example. But it's one we sort of felt like as a staff it was time to share about. If you want information about what the program looks like, there's information at the back table when you go out. You could, if you're interested in the idea of being a mentor, you could sign up to just hear about what that's like. That's basically it.
What Matt didn't tell you is that he has been contacted by Duke Divinity School, Princeton Theological Seminary, and the Lilly Foundation to speak at events and to share this idea because as far as we can tell, we are one of only one or two churches that are doing anything like this anywhere in the United States. And these organizations are actually linked to this congregation of faith. And here's what I want to tell you. Through your support of prayers and encouragement and financial support, you have enabled us to encourage Matt to engage in this experiment. And so, guess what? You have participated.